There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We are building up to our 6 o'clock kickoffs here in the UAE. 3 games from the Premier League, one of which we'll give you live coverage of, courtesy of our friends at TalkSport. There is the small matter of an early kickoff. The last London derby of the season is currently ongoing. How long have we got? 15 minutes or so, Chris?
Yeah, 13 minutes of regulation time. There will obviously be a couple of moments added on. So 15 minutes or so for Tottenham to wrestle control back of this one. If you are just joining us, it's Spurs 0, West Ham 1. It was a fantastic goal. Mark Noble, the architect, he feeds the ball out to the right-hand side. Marko Arnautović playing in that lone frontman role. He's crossed over to the right-hand side. He's produced, I will go as far as to say, he's produced the pass of the day, and I've not even seen, obviously I haven't seen the other games, they haven't kicked off yet. It is a beautiful ball. It is weighted to perfection. The first touch of Mikel Antonio is a work of art. It's off the chest, it's just into his path, and then it's the right-footed volley past Hugo Lloris, gave the Spurs goalkeeper absolutely no chance. West Ham, Manuel Pellegrini in the pre-match build-up was talking about the fact that we need to start not conceding. They're 13 minutes away from keeping a clean sheet and inflicting the first defeat on Tottenham in their new stadium, and they're coming at it again here, committing men forward, our West Ham. You've got to praise them. They were excellent at Old Trafford a couple of weeks ago. They didn't get the reward that day. They've been good today, though.
They have. Vincent Janssen's just come on, so that kind of tells you what position Spurs are in here, on for Danny Rose.
Vincent. We haven't seen him in a Spurs shirt for a long time, the Dutchman. And I can also tell you there's been a goal up in Scotland as well. 67 minutes on the clock at Parkhead. Of course, a win today for Celtic. Defeat tomorrow for Rangers. They're welcoming Aberdeen to Ibrox. And Celtic will be champions for an 8th successive season. And it's the big Croat, Jozo Simeonovic, who's on the score sheet for Celtic midway through that second half. So Celtic on course for another routine victory at Parkhead. And if that comes, as we see Marko Arnautović flash an effort, Hugo Lloris does very well to grab hold of.
He's got another injury. Good. Right, Brighton against Newcastle, 8:30 kickoff. That was live here on Dubai. I went at 3.8. I was wrong. There are 4 games kicking off at 6 o'clock local time here in the UAE. Not the 3 as aforementioned. All the goals as they go in, courtesy of our live coverage from our friends down at TalkSport, which is the feature game.
Not West Ham today, Tom. It's not West Ham today. We're getting a break from West Ham this afternoon. It is, of course, Fulham taking on Cardiff. Fulham already relegated. Cardiff, this really is, for Neil Warnock and his team, a must-win match. The man that will be in the commentary box for us here on Dubai 103.8, it is Russell Hargreaves, and he joins us live now on the line. Russell, good afternoon to you, my friend.
Oh, we lobbied West Ham to make them kick off late so we could do that one, but they wouldn't let us do it. Ooh.
I thought that was the case. It makes a refreshing change for us this weekend. But let's talk, if we can, before we delve into some of the other big stories making the headlines this week, Russell. Let's start with Fulham-Cardiff. Let's start with Cardiff. It's must win today, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. They've lost form at a very bad time, haven't they? 7 defeats in 9 after what was such an impressive run of results to give them a really good chance of survival. You think about when they came up, it was not really a big all-expansive, big spending operation at all, was it? It was just a few kind of frugal signings and a team that a lot of people felt were already kind of being set for life back in the Championship before they'd even started. And Scott Parker, the caretaker boss for Fulham, has been talking about how well Cardiff, no disrespect, have done to even be in the mix with 3 games to go, particularly when you chuck in, of course, the whole tragedy of the Emiliano Sala affair, which I think definitely rocked them and really affected them mentally. They kind of lived on fumes and vapours for a few weeks after it and kind of used it to galvanise, but then the tank suddenly very bare in that thumping against Watford on a Friday night that I commentated on, and from there they've never truly recovered. Yes, they had that excellent win at Brighton a couple of weeks ago. That's given them a chance. Brighton, of course, their closest rivals they're trying to catch. They got the chance because they play first to try and really make a statement, but my gut reaction is it's asking too much, but it's been a plucky and a brave effort to be in the mix at this stage.
What about Fulham as well? They're already down, we know that. And I always felt that Slavica Jukanovic was given a bit of short shrift there. He needed to be given more time. I said it at the time, Ranieri, Russell, not for me. Didn't seem like a good fit. Scotty Parker, is he in it for the long haul?
I think there's a very good chance. What had happened with Scott Parker is they'd lost all their matches since he took charge. They'd played better. They'd been more competitive in most of them, a Watford loss aside. But what's been critical is they've now won back-to-back games. Excellent in a 2-0 win against Everton. And then last week, Sergio Rico, fine form in goal as they managed to win at Bournemouth thanks to Aleksandar Mitrovic's penalty. So suddenly, back-to-back wins for the caretaker boss. If they could make it three, it would actually equal their Premier League record set back in 2012, which would not be bad for an already relegated side. My feeling, and certainly what I'm hearing, is that Parker's probably done enough now to get the job full-time. He needed a couple of wins to give him the kudos, to give him the gravitas, to really kind of claim ownership for that role for next season. I think he's kind of there. The big concern, apart from Fulham finishing the season with their tails wagging, is how many players will leave. Some of the signings we know were wrong. They were disastrous, effectively, in Fulham. Got their mix of their former players to help them get up and the new signings completely awry. That certainly didn't help Jokanović. You're right, Ranieri didn't halt that slide. I think four or five of these first teamers will go. There's several low knees that won't return as well. So how Fulham kind of re-evolve, go back to some of their tried and trusted players from their last championship campaign, plus maybe Parker kind of, you know, digging one or two contacts and bringing in one or two other new faces to the west of London, we'll see.
Before we widen the conversation out, Russell, I just want to get your thoughts. Cardiff today, we have already established it's must win. Do they get the victory?
Yep.
Do you feel they will get it today?
No, I think Fulham will win this one just about. One change, by the way, to each team. So Leandro Bacuna comes into central midfield for Cardiff, the Curacao international. Joe Rawls out for the season now with a torn hamstring in that defeat to Liverpool. 2-0, by the way, to lose to Liverpool was not a bad effort last time out from Cardiff's point of view. Fulham one change as well. Their captain is back, Tom Cairney, also in central midfield. He missed their last game for the birth of his child. He returns, and interestingly, Jean-Michel Seri, the Ivory Coast midfielder, is the man who drops down to the bench. I just think you look at Fulham, they've got the goal-scoring potential of Mitrovic. Ryan Barbel has been in brilliant form so far this season. They'd like him, the Dutchman, to stay in the Championship, if you would, next season. I think Callum Chambers quietly has been very, very impressive in front of the back four in what's a troubled team. And all of a sudden as well, Fulham have kept consecutive clean sheets. They were hemorrhaging goals under Boaty Kanovic and under Claudio Ranieri. Scotty Parker's taken a while, but that's working now. The Adoy, Le Marchand, Ream and Bryan defence, not great on paper, but it's suddenly delivering. Alfie Mawson is back after a knee injury on the bench as well. I think you add all of that together. Yes, Cardiff try hard. They've got great team spirit. I just think they lack goals. Their top scorer has only scored five all season, and they lack quality as well. They'll give it a damn good go today, but I think Fulham will take it by about 2-1.
I want to just widen the conversation out, Russell. I want to look back, if we can, midweek, massive Manchester derby for so many reasons. City obviously needing the victory to keep pace and to keep Liverpool on their toes. Manchester United needing victory to keep their hopes of winning a top four place. It didn't go the way of the red half. It went the way of the blue half of Manchester. What are you making? We've discussed it at length already today. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, 7 defeats in 9. A lot of United fans saying, wait a minute, did we pull the trigger a bit too early in appointing him permanently a few weeks back? Where are you sitting in all of this? What needs to happen at that football club?
I think it's really easy in hindsight to say that the selection was made too soon, but let's just rewind to the point when the decision was made. They'd actually lost a couple of matches then, so the excellent form was already just tailing off. They'd gone out of the FA Cup, they'd had a poor league defeat as well, but they still trusted in what Solskjaer was doing, and also I think they had to make the call that if they were going to try and keep players who are uncertain for next season, attract new faces for next season as well, they needed stability, they needed some kind of direction, and people needed to know what was happening, and Solskjaer needed to be given that chance to be trusted to invest and bring in new faces. So for me, that's the reason they did it. That doesn't change, but I agree, you look at the form since, it's been absolutely poor, hasn't it, particularly away from home. Oh, I think the biggest talking point for me is Paul Pogba. Will he be at the club next season or not? Talk that Real Madrid increasingly interested. Will Pogba even go on the pre-season tour of the Far East? Reports certainly last night into this morning our time that he might not. I think Solskjaer's got some big calls to make. Does he let someone like Pogba go despite his brilliant and potentially toxic influence in the squad? Get him out, use that money wage-wise, funds-wise to help bring in some new faces. And there are so many players who've been at the club for too long now. You think to that defence, most of those players have been there since about 2010-2011. Loads of others have come in, failed and been dropped down the pecking order. I think Solskjaer's got to really go for it big time, make the statement. Mr. Nice Guy is kind of going as well. We've seen that in one or two of his media conferences. The steely resolve from the baby-faced assassin really is coming out, and he's got to stand tall and really take ownership of this situation now. That kind of jovial caretaker with it all going well, players happy to play under him. It's not the case anymore, and this is the proper test. They've backed him. He's got to pay that back now and get some results at the end of this season and clearly into the start of next. If he starts next season badly, that's when I think we really start to fear for his job already. But we're definitely not there yet. We certainly shouldn't be, and we certainly shouldn't get ahead of ourselves in terms of what he has achieved.
We were talking about our cull list potentially at Old Trafford for the summer. Who do you think should be on that list?
I'm sorry, I just missed that. Sorry, just say that one more time.
We were talking about our cull list. Who could be out of the door at Old Trafford this summer? Who do you think should be on that list?
So I think Pogba, for me, should be on the list. I just think it's not worth it anymore, and the disruptive element there is more harm than good. I think as much as we love them, the likes of Chris Smalling and Phil Jones, they're on that list of players who've been there since 2010, 2011. I think both of those probably need to go and be moved on and replaced by proper world-quality centre-halves to maybe go alongside somebody like Victor Lindelof. They'd be a few for me, and probably Romelu Lukaku as well. Not mobile, yes, a decent target man, and on his day, still a potent and powerful finisher, but Solskjaer clearly doesn't fancy him. I don't think he's particularly happy at Old Trafford, and I don't think Marcus Rashford is perhaps your number nine, your out-and-out clinical finisher. Move him back into that mobile three alongside the likes of maybe Lingard and certainly Anthony Martial, and maybe bring in a new, proper but slightly quicker, pacier number nine who can play more in that Solskjaer kind of rapid mould. So I'd say Lukaku, the centre-halves, and why not say Pogba as well. And that's on top of other players who may well leave anyway. Don't forget Herrera, Mata, De Gea. All of these guys are in the middle of trying to organise new contracts, and quite a few of those up in the air as well. So I think there'll be some natural wastage on top of those that United also decide that they need to move on to freshen up their squad and their stars.
Last one from me, Russell. Just, we heard the City fans at Old Trafford at the full-time whistle. They were chanting Championes. A little premature. We've been talking about a hiccup. Someone slipping up. I mean, the form of both City and Liverpool in the recent months, it pains me to say, but it's been exceptional from both. Is there a twist in the tail? Look at City's fixtures. They've got Burnley away. They've still got Brighton on the final day of the season away from home. Of course, Brighton may well need something from that match. Is this done and dusted, or is there going to be one last twist to this extraordinary title race?
Yeah, Leicester in the middle of those as well, and Brendan Rodgers' team are quite good at upping their game against quality opposition as well and harking back to their own championship days. I'll give you a slightly boring answer, I'm afraid. I think not. I think both teams will actually win all of their remaining matches. I think Liverpool deep down fear that already, that they could have this incredible 97.1 defeat league season and still end up losing it, which would be so, so unlucky. My feeling is they'll win their last couple of games against Newcastle and Wolves. They were excellent last night, admittedly against a terrible Huddersfield team, but you know, Salah and Mane both passed 20 Premier League goals this season. Andy Robertson just outstanding with his delivery at left back once again. They're such a good team. I'm so impressed with what they've done, and don't forget they've still got Europe to come as well. But I just think City will go and win those final three games, and the fact that they've got that extra point on the board, I think it's going to be enough. So yes, it'll go down to the final day, but I can see Man City doing it with a 98 point haul and Liverpool with 97 missing out. But as we've been talking about all week on this side of the pond, if that does happen, Liverpool should not in any way be disappointed. They should be proud of what they've achieved and use it, as Jurgen Klopp has said, to continue to kick on, get even better, and try and perhaps even get a few more points next season, if that's possible. But there again, their opponents surely would slip a little bit in comparison to that. Maybe just a couple of points might be enough a year on.
Russell, always a pleasure catching up with you, my man. You are our lead comms for Fulham Cardiff. That is a match you can hear live and exclusive on Dubai 103.8, 6 o'clock this evening. Who have you got in the commentary booth with you?
The former Fulham and QPR left back, the brilliant Rufus Brevet. He's a top man, and he's just arriving as we speak to be alongside me. So Rufus and I, as you say, in a few minutes' time at the cottage.
Russell and Rufus, the two R's. Looking forward to it. 6 p.m. kickoff for now, Russell. Thank you very much.
No worries.
Big thanks to Russell for joining us live there. As McCarty was saying, you can catch uninterrupted coverage of that game and all the goals that go in the other games as well. Palace against Everton, Southampton against Bournemouth, Watford against Wolves. We'll give you team news on each and every one of those in just a few moments' time. Plus, we've got a couple of minutes left in this London derby. Tottenham against West Ham. When we come back, we'll put in the picture on that.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Enjoy your weekend with a 99 dirham main and a hot lunch combo.
Should be about 30 seconds left in the opening game of the Premier League, and if things stay the same as they are at the moment, there will be a few bubbles being blown in areas of London.
They certainly will, Tom, and they'll be... As we say that, Spurs on the attack. What a ball. What a clearance off the line. Oh, my goodness. Is that Balbuena? It is Balbuena for a header. I think it was Toby Alderweireld who had sneaked up there. We're going to see a replay of this one, but it's Balbuena who is on the line. Fabianski was right there. But as we watch this again, I think Juan Foyth, who is not a right wing back by any stretch of the imagination, my goodness, what a ball that is to the back post. Toby Alderweireld playing as an auxiliary striker in these closing stages. He gets the header on, and there is the full-time whistle. My goodness, that was the last chance of this match. It is finished. Tottenham 0, West Ham United 1. What a finish to this match, and what a goal it was. A brilliant goal to separate the two teams. The bragging rights go to the Tom Urquhart household as opposed to the Hamish Urquhart household. Hamish, Tom's brother, being a massive Spurs fan. That is a huge result, that. And the reason I say that is West Ham, not much to play for other than position in the league, but that will go down in the history books. That is Tottenham's first defeat in their brand new stadium. They were blunted a little today. They huffed and puffed, maybe one eye on Ajax, but take nothing away from West Ham. The final 10 minutes as well, they were attacking with numbers. They had one or two half chances. Wrong decision, bad touch, separating from what would have been perhaps a far greater and far more comfortable result. What a win that is, though. Spurs 0, West Ham 1.
Yeah, clean sheet as well for Pellegrini.
He's happy with that one, but and also because they've been obviously one thing that they have been atrocious throughout the season, for want of a better word, is on the road. You know, we just don't win away from the London Stadium, or haven't suffered certainly in 2019. So it's good to see them get one over on their near neighbours.
It was good value for it as well, right? The first half was a bit so-so. The best chance, Declan flashing one over. They kept Spurs at arm's length. Spurs had a good spell for 10-15 minutes where. Just trying to inject a bit of pace into it, but a truly class goal. Marko Arnautovic's pass for this goal, it's just clipped beautifully. The vision is always one thing, I always say that. You can see the passes, execution another, and Mikel Antonio, who just does seem to pop up with big goals, doesn't he? It's a wonderful first touch, and then Lloris, maybe, if I was being overcritical, Lloris could have stood big, he didn't, he kind of hunched down, flashes the volley past them, and then from there, West Ham, as I say, it could have been more. A very good victory, that. And as we look at the table, Spurs 36 games, 70 points. Chelsea in fourth, 67 points from 35 games. They're at Old Trafford tomorrow. Arsenal, they're on 66 points, and then Manchester United on 64. So, still alive a little bit. I mean, no one wants Champions League football next season. No one wants it.
No one wants it. I think they all want it. It's just who's going to have it? That's going to be the big question. We will keep an eye on developments and permutations in that particular tournament in the weeks to come. Let's get some live scores for you. Middlesex are playing Sussex in the county champ, in the One Day Cup, I should say. Sussex 200 for 5 with 8.05 overs left. 205 from 39.1 overs. Indian Premier League later on today, Rajasthan Royals taking on the Sunrisers Hyderabad, and Pakistan are over in the UK at the moment preparing for the series between England and Pakistan. Pakistan currently 314 for the loss of 6 wickets with 3 overs remaining in their one-day match against Kent.
Just on the IPL, Tom, I know you watch, I know you love your cricket, and I know you keep an eye on it. David Warner, credit where credit's due, he has been a man on a mission. He and Johnny Bairstow, bygones have been bygones. They're bosom buddies.
Yeah, I know. They've been brilliant together as well. I mean, Johnny's headed back to the UK now, along with all the other England teammates, to get ready for their series, Pakistan series, ahead of the Cricket World Cup. But they've worked really well at the top of that at that batting order.
And then at number three, Kane Williamson.
And Kane Williamson, because they're three. And so it was Johnny's form which has been keeping Kane out for the majority of the tournament. Kane's only literally come in the last couple of weeks. So not a bad man to have
mental
to fill those boots, isn't it? But they've played really well. It'd just be interesting, wouldn't it? With the Ashes coming up later on this year, to see how things like the IPL impact on relationships between the two teams. Because I've always found it really strange that there's always been that really good rivalry between England, Australia, in every sport, but specifically in cricket, there's always been a little bit of an edge as well. Yeah. And yet, is that going to be taken away by the franchise tournaments that we're seeing now, where you are sharing teammates and hotels and professional and personal time with
It's the new culture that's going to take it away, though. It's the Australia's new culture. Steve Smith and David Warner have been reprimanded, and it's all peaches and cream now, isn't it? There'll be hugs and there'll be kisses and there'll be all sorts ahead of that Ashes. Whether that lasts long, we'll see, because when the competitive spirit and the competitive edge comes out, I'm looking forward to it. Cricket is booming right now. IPL, I've kept a close eye on it. Virat Kohli's had his woes, of course. Royal Challengers Bangalore just flattered to deceive yet again. Chennai Super Kings continue to set the bar, but Sunrisers Hyderabad, so impressed with them. And yeah, it's been another good IPL. It's a bit of a, it's a marathon, not a sprint, IPL. It's very difficult, and I appreciate there'll be fans out there that say, listen, if you love it truly, then you don't care that there's so many matches, but every day there's another match to consume, and it's taxing somewhat. But yeah, cricket booming right now, World Cup coming up, Ashes coming up, cannot wait for it all to unfold, and yeah, Pakistan over England as well.
Lots of cricket going on, and some big stories coming out of the world of cricket as well. England's preparation ahead of the World Cup has hit a few buffers. Sam Billings is out of England's upcoming games against Ireland and Pakistan after dislocating a shoulder. Ben Foulkes has been called in to him, and seems to be something of a problem at the moment, because Ollie Pope, Surrey and England's spinner, is also out for the majority of the season. Again, another dislocated shoulder there for the young man. And another man that is not going to be available for England is a certain Alex Hales, who's been suspended following an off-field incident not related to cricket, according to the spokesman for the batsman. We don't really need to dwell too much on said off-field incident, just to say that he's got form, this fella.
He does have form, and it's not good. And I know Michael Vaughan has been very outspoken with regards to Alex Hales. I think everyone just feels disappointed. You get one chance, and we talk, don't we? Second chances in life, second chances in society, second chances in sport as well. And this is the second time. I mean, we can read between the lines as to what the exact issue is. But Alex Hales, he's done it once. He's been reprimanded. He's been given a second chance. And he's just thrown it back in everyone's face who have given him a second chance. And what this means now for his international career remains to be seen. I think if he is found guilty and he does go on to miss this World Cup, do you see a way back in for him? I'm not sure. Do you get three chances now in the new culture of sport? Certainly the England's cricket board will have a decision to make on that one. But yeah, not good, Alex Hales. Not good at all.
Not good form from Alex Hales. Not doing himself any favours. We haven't talked golf yet, and obviously there is plenty to talk about. Now, more so than that, certain Rory McIlroy. Interesting comments from Paul McGinley overnight, saying the Irish Open cannot expect to attract all the star names after Rory McIlroy decided not to compete in this year's tournament. An interesting move here by Rory. Obviously, he set the precedent earlier on at the beginning of the season, saying that he was going to limit the number of tournaments he played on the European Tour. But you thought he'd stay loyal to the Irish events, at least.
You did. I mean, he's got an awful lot out of it. Dubai Duty Free, you got an awful lot out of him as well with some of the big names. I know they're now doing rotational captains, and for them the tournament's got to live on. You can't just be as big, or you can't rely on just one individual. For Rory, I mean, he made the changes this year and he had a wonderful start, didn't he? A win, and then he had, I think, six top five finishes before the Masters. He blew out a little bit at the Masters. That's becoming an issue. You know, listening to him in the lead up, he was taking up juggling, he was doing an awful lot of random things. He was trying meditating is another thing he's turned to. He's trying too much. He was juggling. Yeah, he felt that juggling was helping his concentration or something nonsensical. And I said to Rob,
whatever happened to going to the driving range and the putting green?
And just working hard.
I'm sorry. I don't think the circus act's going to get you low scores on the course.
Not Augusta, right? Yeah. I mean, he's trying everything, bless him. He's wanting to become only the sixth man, I think it is, to win all of the four majors in golf. There's not many men to have done it. It is an unbelievable feat. And the Masters is just cowering him a little bit. He made the decision early on that he was going to forego European Tour this year because, of course, he's married to an American, her home, and they live in Jupiter, Florida. So they've made the decision to go this way. And the Irish, the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open, it's got to rely on others. Others have got to pick up the slack and try and push the tournament, because I've been told, I've not been over there, a few of our colleagues have, and they say it is a wonderful, wonderful course and a wonderful event, and fingers crossed it does go from strength to strength, albeit in the absence of Rory McIlroy.
He has given a lot to that tournament, though, over the years as well, so I think you can
almost
excuse him a little bit, because you know, he's helped very much so raise the profile of the Irish Open since the Dubai Duty Free sponsorship has been in there.
Yeah,
it's interesting as well, isn't it? Because we focus a lot on
on McIlroy, and yet when you look at form at the moment, and possibly there is another Irishman that's played better golf than him at the moment. Shane Lowry's been in blistering form throughout the season, and maybe again it shows you that there is strength in depth when it comes to Irish golfers.
Paul Dunn's another one as well. Yeah, the strength is there in Irish golf right now, and you're absolutely right. Shane was winner down at the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship. He followed that up with a strong couple of rounds at the RBC Heritage. Yeah. Before I think Dustin Johnson, no, it wasn't. It was the Chinaman who came through and won it. But great for Irish golf, and you know Graham McDowell still there, kicking around somewhere. Is Graham? Rory will come back. He's had a wonderful start to the season. Let's not judge Rory on the fact that he didn't win the Masters, because he's had an unbelievable start to 2019. He's just got to keep his focus, keep his head, and there's another three chances to win majors.
Padraig Harrington's playing in the Irish Open as well, so don't
yeah, don't
worry
don't
about
rule
him.
Out Padraig.
Don't sleep on Padraig.
three times.
Eamon Darcy, have they rolled him out?
Oh,
as well,
probably.
Or not?
Yeah. Yeah, he's probably playing. It's all the old boys.
4001. If you want to have your say on that one, one final one. Just you know, you get those little European Tour have been very good at doing their sort of socials recently.
Brilliant.
And there's one that I was watching this week. I don't know if you've seen it, the Andy Sullivan hole in one.
Oh, 257. It's unbelievable.
They give him 500 balls and send him to the London golf course, and they mic him up and things like that. And Andy's a great character anyway. Yeah. He's good. He's very entertaining. And let's just say that there was a bit of editing work to have been done from the team. But yeah, it's sent out there, see if you can get a hole in one with 500 balls, and it was the 257th
ball, I think, right about that, which is, I mean, yeah, just... Yeah,
so he's on a hole when he did this, or he's on a driving...
He's on a hole. He's trying to get hole in one. He's got 500
cool
balls to
thing.
Do it. They'll set up the camera. It's going to be a long day, and he's just got to see, and at 257, he gets a hole in one.
Yeah. And he gets so close on a couple of... He hits the pin a couple of times. So one bounces in and bounces out and things like that. So, yeah, it's a good one. And you can see him, his mood change, because he's really buoyant in the beginning. And then, obviously, you know, once you've hit 200 balls on the same pin, you're just thinking, what am I doing this for, you know?
European Tour, though, they do a great job.
I think it'd be 5,000 shots before I managed to get my hole in one.
And the rest for me.
And a very patient cameraman required,
I
think.
Oh, my goodness, I'd be there. I think I'd be there a year on a par 300 yarder, and I'd still be
throwing the ball.
I'd just be putting. I'd just run up and plop it in the hole by the end. But it's great. European Tour do a great job. We
They're
talk about
phenomenal.
Social media.
They're phenomenal on social media. Their media department does an amazing job. Out of any sporting organization, they're up there. They're year in, year out.
Get your thoughts into us. 4001 into the final half hour of the show as we continue the build up ahead of live coverage of the Premier League right here on Dubai.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Enjoy your weekend with a 99 dirham main and a hot lunch combo.
Right, we are. We've been talking a lot of US sport throughout the course of the show, and we ain't done just yet either, because let's get some more from Ross, Chris, with regards to the draft picks.
Yeah, I want to bring you guys into this kind of conversation, because this is an interesting sporting story. The Oakland Raiders, they finished fourth in the AFC West last year, 4-12. John Gruden comes out for a 10-year, $100 million contract, $10 million a year. He essentially gets the keys to the Oakland Raiders. But interesting thing leading up to their draft, first time I've ever heard this out of any team, they sent home all of the team's scouts. So traditionally, all of your scouts are in one room with the coach, the GM, the owner. They didn't want to have any leaks about their draft game plan, so they sent home all of their scouts before the draft started, and the only people in the room were the general manager and the coach. And then the scouts also received their pink slips. Thank you for getting us all the information on all the players. Thank you for all of this coveted pieces of insight on these college players. You guys are done now. We'll take the reins from here, because they were so scared of leaks coming out of their draft room, because of course the Oakland Raiders have a staggering three first round picks to build around this team. And their first round pick, they went with the defensive end from Clemson, Celine Farrell, the third defensive lineman from Clemson taken in the first round. They just know how to produce on that defensive line.
All right, Cleveland, three Clemson defensive linemen taken in the first round, but you were the first. So what I want to know is, did you guys have anything going in terms of a wager on who would be first?
Man, I didn't, but my teammate did. He tried to make it seem like he was going to be mad if I got drafted before him, but he was so happy. So I'm so thankful for the guys that I played with, man. But nah, we were just all happy, just trying to see where everybody was going to go, man, because we really had no idea. So it was truly a blessing.
Yeah, you mentioned last night that you were surprised to be taken as high as you were, even if you weren't surprised to be taken by the Raiders? What was the feeling like when you got the call?
Oh, man, you know, it wasn't that I got taken as high as I was. It was more so that, you know, I was surprised at the Raiders, because on all my visits, it was kind of giving me the stale face, you know, not really showing me if they like me or not. You know what I mean? I knew I loved them, but it wasn't telling me if they like me or not. So I was more so surprised by that. Not as far as high as I was taking, you know, but that's truly a blessing too. You know, that's crazy, you know, and it's truly an honor to be thought of that highly in that regard, man. But I was just so astounded. I was crying like a baby. shared a great moment with my family for sure.
So looking at this Oakland Raiders team, kind of a revamped team, if you will, Chris McCarty, they go out and they get, well, I consider him a lunatic, Antonio Brown. They take him off of the social media airwaves.
Has he still got it, yeah. Ross?
He is a phenomenal talent. Phenomenal. But it'll be interesting to see if he can still produce without Ben Roethlisberger throwing him the football. Okay, because I don't think anyone will debate that Derek Carr is not Ben Roethlisberger.
No.
You know, Derek Carr has still shown he needs to grow as an NFL quarterback. So, and another interesting note coming out of the Oakland Raiders, Marshawn Lynch, beast mode, has retired for a second time. This time he's riding off into the sunset on his, what was it, medical cart that he got, that he was famously stole during a halftime show. But this Oakland Raiders team, a new Oakland Raiders team, we have, you know, going to have a new backfield. We have Antonio Brown. We have Celine coming in on the defensive line. We have John Gruden. I'm just hoping that this Oakland Raiders team gets picked for Hard Knocks, because they're one of the five teams that's up for it. I would love to dive into their offseason training program.
John Gruden, of course, reminiscent of a doll that scared the life out of
Chucky.
Me when I was a kid, Chucky. John Gruden, an amazing broadcaster, went into the analytical side of things. He's come back. Has he still got what it takes? Because he won the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the Glazer family, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And he was one of the youngest coaches to do it. He was the hot and up-and-coming thing in coaching. And then he left all of a sudden. And he joins the Monday night booth. Yeah. And you could just read his mind sometimes, how he dives into a football game when he was in that booth. It was amazing having him up there. He just dissected these games, and for a football fan, it was just great having him call games, because he would tell you things you would not even know about. From a coach's perspective, though, that would help you paint the picture, which is what a good broadcaster does. And then he comes back in, and he trades away Khalil Mack, the best player in the NFL on defense, to the Chicago Bears. He did a lot of head-scratching stuff. So, you know, you hope that this works out for him this year, because this is going to be a big test. If there's four wins again in Oakland, that's not going to be good for this Raiders team, because keep in mind, not only is this Raiders team obviously playing for wins and losses this year, gentlemen, Oakland Raiders need a new home.
Yeah.
They're heading out of Oakland. They're not going to be in Oakland next year. Chances are, money has it, that they'll be in Las Vegas. But a team does not want to inherit a crummy team. A city does not want to inherit a four-win team. You want something to build on here. And Las Vegas has proven with the Las Vegas Golden Knights that they can support a sports franchise and they can be successful. But if you come in with four wins, that's not going to be a good sign for Las Vegas fans. So it's a very, very key, important season for the Oakland Raiders to make sure they at least get to that 8-win mark. And he's taking a big gamble with Antonio Brown coming in as that wide receiver.
Last one on NFL from me. I haven't had a chance to have a little catch up with you, Ross, since the news that Rob Gronkowski is no more. He has moved on. He is done with the New England Patriots, a tight end who revolutionized the game of American football. He's done. I believe the Patriots picked up a wide receiver. What are we reading into? Is there anything that we can read into what they did in the draft and what they're going to even look like next season without Gronkowski?
Well, first, I'm going to start with Rob Gronkowski. I do not believe he's done. I think Rob Gronkowski still has football left in his body. He's 29 years old. He's been ravaged with injuries. There's no denying that he leaves it out on that field. He puts his body through some pain. He's known to play through some injuries. I see Rob Gronkowski coming back maybe sometime this year or this time next year. I just think he still has it in him. Even his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, came out and said, You know, a lot of people come out of retirement in football. So, and if he did, any team would take him back, certainly the New England Patriots. Now, let's look at some of their draft picks here. The 31st pick, they went with N'Keal Henry, the wide receiver from Arizona State. This is a playmaker. They need an upgrade at wide receiver. And, you know, the New England Patriots like building through the draft, much like my Pittsburgh Steelers. And the second pick, they went with Johan Williams, a cornerback out of Vanderbilt. And the third pick, they went with Chase Winovich, the defensive end from Michigan. So they're building some key blocks. I don't expect any of these guys to be immediate impact players on this team. That's not really the Bill Belichick system. We kind of groom you, and then they insert you in there. And keep in mind, the big man Tom Brady, of course, has to like you and want to throw you the football. But don't worry about your New England Patriots with Rob Gronkowski out of the mix there, Chris McCarty. They are still feared. They are still one of the most feared teams in football. They have Tom Brady under center, and I do believe they will be in those AFC playoffs. They're just good year in and year out.
Qualifying underway over in Baku. Well, I say underway, it's not, because there's a big red flag on the course at the moment. Robert Kubica is in the wall. So big crash for Kubica in the wall at turn 8. 50, apparently he's fine. The car itself is not. It's in pieces. But the pole has radio to say he is okay. What else can we tell you down there at the moment? There was a 15-minute delay. 15-minute delay to the second element of qualifying. One man who's not going to be part of that qualifying is Grosjean. Roman Grosjean is out after Q1 of the qualifying as well.
How are those manhole covers?
I was just double checking that area of the course to see if it was anything that. But I don't think he's going to be able to use that excuse. Unfortunately, just a tight corner that he missed. Kubica has just come back, hasn't he? Obviously,
he has. He's got limited use of his left hand. I mean, incredible what he has recovered from. It's a miracle story. You know, we talk Tiger Woods. Robert Kubica is one of those. Had a rally crash over in Italy, if memory serves me correct. Sicily, I think it was. Rally of Sicily. Ridiculous that a Formula One driver is given license to go and do that, for goodness sake. But came through life-altering injuries to then make it back into F1. It's a remarkable story of perseverance. And, you know, for him to be just driving is an absolute bloody miracle. For him to be racing in F1 is just extraordinary, and there he is. Thankfully, the good news that you've just told me is he's all right, having crashed into the wall.
He's fine, but I think the mechanics are probably going to have that, because
they'll be up all night.
But wasn't that it was George Russell who hit the hydrant yesterday? Yeah. So the two of them, they've got two cars written off now, haven't they?
So the two garages will be burning the midnight oil, burning the 4 a.m. oil, trying to get that car fixed and ready to go for tomorrow. It's a thankless task, that mechanic's job.
We are going to wrap things up in just a few minutes. Just to let you know that Empoli have taken first half lead against Bologna. 39 minutes on the clock at the moment. Pajac with the first score in that one. Empoli leading Bologna by 1-0.
Our Empoli fans listening in will be rejoicing.
I bet there's a few out there. I
guarantee there is not an Empoli fan listening to this show.
Okay, then challenge on. Please, any Empoli fans, can you text us on 4001?
I bet we have some.
There must be one
there's
out there.
Not an Empoli fan listening to this show.
A friend of mine always started Championship Manager 0102, I think it was, with Empoli.
With Massimo Macaroni up front.
Trying to bring them up.
I love it. Any Empoli fans out there, let us know, because you will be rejoicing right now. Your team's beating Bologna by 1-0.
Exactly. Or Bologna fans, feel free to join the party as well. Get involved. There's also been an early goal over in the Bundesliga as well.
Where are we going with this one?
I don't know. I can't remember where the goal is. I think it's at Dortmund.
It's not. It's at Dusseldorf. They're beating Werder Bremen by 1-0. But there has just been a goal at Dortmund. That's spooky. Whoa. She's popped up as well. Borussia Dortmund have taken the lead. It's the Ruhr derby against Schalke, and it's Mario Götze after 14 minutes on the score sheet there. So
what's going on in the Bundesliga? Is it done and dusted?
No. Bayern lead the way. They thrashed Borussia Dortmund a few weeks back. I watched it. Robert Lewandowski, a class act that night.
Just reeled them in, haven't they? They just reeled Dortmund in, and then...
I mean, Dortmund were unbeaten for so long. As things stand, Dortmund lead by 1-0, as I just told you, in that Ruhr derby against Schalke. So they'll go 2 points clear of Bayern at the top of the table. Bayern don't play until tomorrow. They're playing Nuremberg away from home. Now, Nuremberg have had a shocker of a season. They're second bottom, so you'd expect Bayern to win that. There's 18 teams in the Bundesliga, 17 matches home and away, so 34 match season. Dortmund moving on to 31, 3 matches remaining. If Bayern, and I expect them to get the victory, win tomorrow, and this scoreline stays the same, there's a point in it with 3 games to go. Toss a coin. I'd probably stick with Bayern just because it's in their hands.
I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, we will build up ahead of our 6 o'clock kickoffs. Remember, you've got live coverage of Fulham against Cardiff from Craven Cottage. But before, if there are any goals in any of the other three games that kick off at the same time, then feel free. Then you'll be able to hear them here, right here on Dubai Eyewinner 3.8. Plus, you've got Brighton against Newcastle. Late kickoff, massive game for Brighton. They need the points in that particular late kickoff. It's here on Dubai Eyewinner 3.8.
Let's go!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Still no goals in the Championship early kickoff. Millwall taking on Stoke. 57 minutes on the clock there. No goals to report. Earlier on today, we saw West Ham take the points at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and Celtic beating Kilmarnock by that solitary goal. That takes them to just 1 point. They need one more point.
Yeah, so Rangers lose tomorrow. They're at home to Aberdeen, and Steven Gerrard, critical of Aberdeen. There's no love lost between the two, Derek McInnes and Steven Gerrard. He was critical of them yesterday. I expect Aberdeen to have a bit of fire in them. If Aberdeen get anything from Ibrox tomorrow, then Celtic champions for an eighth successive season.
Brighton against Newcastle, late kickoff in the Premier League. That one's live here on Dubai Eyewinner 3.8 from 8:30 this evening. Make sure you tune in for that. In fact, just stay tuned now, because coming up in around about 7 minutes' time, we'll be crossing over to Craven Cottage, where you can listen to live, unabridged commentary of Fulham against Cardiff. Crucial game for Cardiff, that one, as they try and get themselves out of that third relegation spot.
Yeah, they're 3 points behind Brighton at the start of the day, and given the fact Fulham are down, this is one that Neil Warnock would have chalked down early doors as just simply a must win. Brighton at home to Newcastle a little later this evening. Chris Hughton going up against his former club in Newcastle. Today could be the day for me. If Cardiff can win, I'm stating the bleeding obvious a little bit here, but if Cardiff can win, Newcastle, who have been good form recently, they've looked good. They were good at Leicester. Brendan Rodgers inflicted a defeat at the King Power Stadium a couple of weeks back. They've looked good. If Newcastle can get a result and Cardiff can crucially win, I've got a sneaky feeling that Cardiff might just stay up because Brighton are in wretched form.
Cardiff have got Manchester United on the last day of the season.
They do, but they're at home too. They've got a winnable game next week. Cardiff do. They might even be at home to Newcastle. I'll double check that, but they've got a winnable game next week. They need to beat Fulham. That goes without saying. They need Brighton probably to lose all of their games, but I'm sure next week Cardiff have got an absolute winnable match.
At home to Palace.
They're at home to Palace.
And Brighton are struggling. They've got City.
They've got City. And they've got Arsenal.
Arsenal as well. So in the last two games. So an easier running for Cardiff, definitely.
Exactly. That's must win today, though, against Fulham.
That's our feature game from 6 o'clock. Stay tuned. Fulham against Cardiff is up in a few moments' time, plus goals from the other games. Crystal Palace taking on Everton. Any big team news for Palace, Mark?
Just one change for Palace. So they obviously beat Arsenal 3-2 last week. Impressive performance at the Emirates. Patrick Van Aanholt in for Joel Ward. That's the only change today. We've got Guaita in goals, Wan-Bissaka, Kelly, Dan, Van Aanholt at left back, Maya left wing, Koyete, always struggle with this one.
Luka.
Milivojevic, MacArthur, Benteke, and Zaha. Benteke and Zaha up top. But yeah, just that one change, which is Patrick Van Aanholt in left back in place of Joel Ward.
What about Everton?
Yeah, no changes as you would expect, given the fact that they turned over Manchester United by 4-0. Jordan Pickford, the England number one in goals. Back four, you've got in there the man that I love, Seamus Coleman at right back. Left back, Lucas Digne, the Frenchman. The two centre halves, Michael Keane and Kurt Zouma, who have really emerged in recent weeks as a solid foundation at the centre of that defence. Morgan Schneiderlin and Idrissa Gai, they produce they're the lungs in there, they're the legs, they're the ones that break up play when Everton are out of possession. Gylfi Sigurdsson in number 10, then you've got Richarlison and Bernard, and then up front you've got a man who is raw, is young, I like him though, it's Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Let's get down to the south coast. It might be being battered by Storm Hannah at the moment. High winds expected on the south coast. And team news coming through from Southampton. No Fraser on the list.
No Fraser. We've got Shane Long is back in up Shane top after his incredibly fast goal.
Yeah, 7-point-something seconds.
Fastest Premier League goal. So we've got Gurnan goals, Valerie, Bednarek, Stevens, Bertrand, James Ward-Prowse in there. Romo, another one I struggle with, Højbjerg, Redmond, Ings, and Long. That's an easier one.
That's
for me.
That's an easy one to say. There's no doubt about that.
It is a South Coast derby,
absolutely. St Mary's, the venue for Bournemouth. Interesting, Eddie Howe. He's got flexibility with his formations. He can play a back four. He's gone in with a back three today. Artur Boranc starts in goals. It's a back three of Jack Simpson, Chris Meppham, the Welshman who's been a real find from Brentford. They brought him in for big money in January. Steve Cook as well, the skipper. Right wing back, you've got Nathaniel Klein on loan from Liverpool. Left wing back, it looks as if it'll be Nathan Aké. The midfield three, David Brooks, one of the signings of the summer, the Welsh international. I'm a big fan and I think Spurs may well be taking a closer look at him come this summer. Jefferson Lerma, who's been a big success as well after his move in the summer from Levante. And then you've also got up front Callum Wilson and Joshua King. It's going to be a belter, this one. Looking forward to it. And yeah, I've got a funny feeling Bournemouth might get something out of this.
And finally, the other game that is ongoing from 6 o'clock is a rematch of the FA Cup semi-final, which Watford won. Wolves looking for revenge. Let's get some team news first and foremost from the home team. Watford, any big changes there?
There's three changes, which I'm just about to tell you because I'm just struggling to get hold of it.
Well, we'll go over to the
away team first.
Yeah, we've got, as you'd expect, with Nuno Santos, similar formation as he stuck with all season long. That back three, Rui Patricio, the man, the goalkeeper, the Portuguese, who wears number 11. Never sits well with me, a goalkeeper wearing number 11, but that's what happens up at Wolves. The back three, Ryan Bennett, so solid all season. Connor Cody, the former Liverpool youth player, I'm a big fan of he, and then Willie Boley. Then the midfield five, Leander Dindonker, João Moutinho, and you've got Ruben Neves, who for me is just box office. Wolves will do very well to keep hold of him next season. The two fullbacks on one side, you've got Matt Doherty, on the other you've got Johnny Castro, and then the front two, Diego Llota, who's been wonderful in recent weeks, and then it's the big Mexican, the big man who they've spent big money to keep him on there. He was on loan all season from Benfica. They're keeping him into next season. It is Raul Jimenez.
Okay, and what Watford lineup? Obviously, the scourge of Wolves in the FA Cup semi-final. Gerard Deulofeu is in there, so they'll be nervous. But we've got Ben Foster, Fermanier, Mariappa, Craig Cathcart, Holabas, and then Decore, Capu, Hughes, and then Pereira, Deulofeu, and Gray for Watford.
Good on you, fellas. Well done to you both. Thanks very much indeed for putting us in the picture there. Our feature game will, of course, be Cardiff against Fulham, but you have all the goals from those other games as well. That's about it from us. Thanks very much indeed to you, Roscoe, Christo, for being on board.
Yeah, if you're looking for something to do this week, head on down to the Dubai Mall Ice Rink Wednesday night, 8:30. It's going to be an Emirates Ice Hockey All-Star game, so come on down for that. It'll be fun. We'll see some hockey. Hopefully we see some goals, some fights. Just saw on Twitter right now, Pakistan under 19 canceled their tour of Sri Lanka due to some concerns. I love my Sri Lanka. Been there 17 times. Heart breaks for the people of Sri Lanka. So if we have any Sri Lankan listeners out there, thinking of you, and hopefully we get it all figured out here soon, because I love going back there.
Good words indeed. And of course, a big thanks to Mr. Mark Lomas as well, making his debut on the grill here today. Hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Am I supposed to give a sporting recommendation as well?
Yes, definitely.
Badu Jack Promotions having their first professional fight night in Dubai at Five Palm this coming Friday. So I'll be there, and I think Mr. McCarty might be there.
Yeah, I'll be popping on down. More boxing. Boxing is booming here in the Middle East. There's no doubt about that. Las Vegas has long been seen as the mecca of boxing. That is changing. It's changing. So it is. As for me, 5 till 8. Off script, you've got 10 till 1 with Tom Ucker on the agenda as well. And tomorrow will all be about Robbie Greenfield and his win, fighting for it, Dubai.
Shot by shot.
Oh, Robbie, yes. Just go and have a pizza, mate. Go on. 4-0-0-1. Thanks very much indeed to you, all three of you. Stay tuned. You've got live coverage from the Premier League, courtesy of TalkSport. We'll be back next Saturday between the hours of 3 and 6. Till then, ta-ra.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.